We want to greet each of you in the precious name of Jesus. Brother Dwayne has asked we read from 1 Peter 5, verses 1 to 7. Verse 7 says, "Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you." In the physical sense, when we cast a physical object to somebody, we think, are they able to handle whatever we're casting them? And as I throw that in the context of God, and as we cast our cares to him, God is able. God is all powerful. He is all knowing. He is all present. And so any burden we have, he is able. But I was thinking in the physical sense, if we cast a heavy object to somebody, the thought comes to us, can we trust the person with this? Will they know what to do with it? And when we cast to God our burdens, we can trust him with whatever burden, whatever we're dealing with, we can trust that he knows what is best, what to do with it. So we're going to read from 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 1 to 7. "The elders who are among you I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed, feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being ensamples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud, and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you." All who are able, let's kneel for prayer.
Each of you, in the prayer of Brother Ray on our behalf, might say that this is really Glenn's turn this morning. And I would prefer, brother, you're probably listening or watching, I would prefer that you would be able to be here and take your turn. But I'm glad to be able to step in for him. He stepped in for me many times, so glad to do that. Might add that we thank you for your prayers concerning our trip to last weekend or Sunday through the beginning of the week, middle of the week, to Mayo Clinic. Carol and I went with our son Luke. And Luke went through a lot of tests. He got pricked at least 6 times and had a lot of meetings. And a doctor actually told him it's probably the most thorough physical he'll ever get. And we are grateful that the committee out there, that the committee of doctors meets. And after we left Wednesday early evening, we flew out. They met Thursday morning, and he actually was approved to be a donor. Now that's hedgy, he's a donor, but we are also waiting on one more test to come back, probably late this week, coming week. And that'll determine if he can be a donor for me. So that's kind of where it's at. Appreciate your ongoing prayers. I have hesitations, just like the first time, with another son. And so that's a little difficult. So I don't know if I should rejoice. I guess I should in the good report. But at the same time, I think you would understand. But there are a lot of complications, well, some things that need to be worked out, and so your prayers are appreciated, even if the transplant goes through, because that will happen out there in Minnesota, so obviously that makes for some inconveniences and some lodging issues, so because Carol and I will have to be there at least 3 to 4 weeks if the transplant goes through, so that's working through all that, but God is working. It's his timetable, as it always is. And we praise him and give him praise for all that's good. All right, this morning, the title of the message is Wearing the Right Spirit. Wearing the Right Spirit. There's a story of a pastor who was voted the most humble pastor in America. His congregation gave him a medal that said to the most humble pastor in America, but then they took it away from him on Sunday because he wore it. That story is an example of how elusive the characteristic of humility can be. At one time, there is evidence of humility, but then it can so quickly disappear. And yet the Bible tells us how important this characteristic is in our lives. Matthew 18:4, whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And Proverbs 18:12, before destruction, the heart of man is haughty, and before honor is humility. Proverbs 22:4, by humility and the fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life. And it's one of the requirements for revival in the familiar scripture of 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves. And Proverbs 16:19, better it is to be of an humble spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoil with the proud. And Proverbs 29:23 says, a man's pride shall bring him low, but honor shall uphold the humble in spirit. And James 4:10, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. So all those scriptures point to the importance of humility. There's plenty of admonition to that effect. Well, understandably so, because at the center or at the core of every sin is the sin of pride. If you look at every sin, you can take it back to the sin of pride. It's there. And pride, as we know, is the opposite of humility. What was the number one characteristic of Jesus? What would you say? Well, I believe that we can make a case that it was his humility. Because out of that humility stemmed everything else. His love for us. His willingness to submit himself and go to the cross. So as believers in our purpose to be like him, humility ought to be a priority in our lives. And yes, it should be a reality. Charles Spurgeon once said this, and I quote, we have plenty of people nowadays who could not kill a mouse without publishing it in the Gospel Gazette. We don't have a Gospel Gazette, but we have some ways of communicating, don't we? Samson killed a lion and said nothing about it. The Holy Spirit finds modesty so rare that he takes care to record it. Say much of what the Lord has done for you, but say little of what you have done for the Lord. Do not utter a self-glorifying sentence, unquote. The truth is that we have the big I within us, within each of us, that wants to continually be fed. Feed me, it says. Sometimes it's because we want to make sure we get credit for something. Sometimes it's we want to make sure others know that I'm right. Yeah, I was right about that, remember? Sometimes it's spiritually thinking I'm better than someone else. Well, at least I haven't done that, or I wasn't down that road. The remedy for this problem that we have, or of this big eye within us, is found in the scripture text of this morning. In verse 5 of 1 Peter 5, it says to be clothed with humility. Now, implied by that this is a daily occurrence. Because one of the first things I do, and I'm sure you do when you get up in the morning, is we get dressed. And we make ourselves presentable to others. So implied here to me is that we should be dressing ourselves, making ourselves presentable to everybody else by putting on humility. So I'm ready to meet other people. There are a number of times when the Bible uses the word clothed to give a description of individuals, but it's not referring to physical clothing. But still, the word clothed has the idea of being covered with something and to properly wrap around. The same idea as to put on a garment, even though it's not meaning that in this sense or in this context. And likewise, in Psalm 109:29, David said, "Let mine adversaries be clothed with shame." It's not a literal physical garment, but that's an emotion or a feeling. "And let them cover themselves with their own confusion and as with a mantle." Psalm 132:9 says, "Let the priests be clothed with righteousness." Righteousness. A similar verse to this one is found in 2 Chronicles 6:41 and says, "Let thy priests, O Lord, be clothed with salvation." And Psalm 93:1, in referring to our Lord, says, "The Lord reigneth, he is clothed with majesty. The Lord is clothed with strength, wherewith he hath girded himself." And in Isaiah 61:10, "I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for he hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. He hath covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decketh himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorneth herself with her jewels." This is a picture. Isaiah 61:10 is a picture of what happens to a believer when believers are clothed with Christ's garment of salvation and covered with his righteousness. And there's no greater wardrobe than that one. I don't know what your wardrobe looks like. Well, I see a little bit up here this morning. But I want to tell you that there's no greater wardrobe than the garment of salvation that Christ gives us and covering us with his righteousness, as Larry was talking about this morning. That's a wonderful thing because I can't get it on my own. But he covers me with his righteousness. Well, in having this wardrobe also means, this wardrobe of Christ's salvation, his righteousness, also means that as a Christian, you and I, we claim to be Christians, most everybody here, maybe perhaps everybody, it's of the age of accountability, I don't know. But as Christians, you and I, we need to be clothed within this wardrobe of Christ's righteousness and his salvation. We need to be clothed with the right spirit and the right attitudes. And it makes a huge difference in our lives and how we impact people. Well, first, as believers, we don't need to be under the influence of the wrong spirit. In other words, we don't need to have the spirit of bondage or slavery to fear. That's already been mentioned this morning. We don't need to fear. Brother Art, I believe, said that. Close of Sunday school. Because we received a different spirit, one of adoption, being placed as children of our Heavenly Father. Romans 8:15, "For ye have not received the spirit of bondage, again to fear." And fear there meaning alarm or fright or terror. "But ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father." Our minds, our lives don't need to be controlled by fear. Secondly, we don't need to be clothed with the spirit of this world. 1 Corinthians 2:12, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. And if you talk to someone, and I'm just thinking of interacting with people and how I interact with my technician at dialysis and so on, and we talk and different times you talk to people, it doesn't take long to see that the spirit of the world is a lot different than the spirit of Christ or the wisdom that he gives. They're completely going down a different road and they don't see things from the same perspective. So we don't need to have or be clothed with the spirit of the world. In other words, we don't have to rely on human wisdom, the thinking of this world, and when we can have the spirit of wisdom from God. In Ephesians 1:17, the Apostle Paul is praying for other believers, and he says that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. So we don't need to be clothed with the spirit of the world. And that involves a lot of things, obviously. Our perspective on life, how we do things in life, how we live out life. Spirit of world is a lot different than the wisdom of God. Well, thirdly, then in 2 Peter 1:7, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear. Now, this fear is a little different than the previous one in Romans 8:15. Here, it has the idea of not having courage. Fear is lacking courage and self-confidence. So we don't have to have the spirit or the attitude that lacks courage or a proper self-confidence. There is a proper self-confidence in Christ. Instead, we've been given, we don't need to have that fear, the spirit of fear, but we've been given the spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind. And as believers, we have the power of God within us, right? You believe that this morning? Yeah. We have the Spirit of God within us. That's an amazing thing. Doesn't mean I'm a God. No, you're not. We're not gods. But we have the Spirit of God within us and the power of God. So that does some amazing things for our lives. We don't need this spirit of fear. We also have been given a spirit of love. A God-given love within us that first of all desires to please God. And then it looks out for the welfare of others. In other words, this love that God gives us enables us to have a right attitude towards God and towards others. Spirit of love. We're also given a spirit or given a sound, disciplined mind, whereby we can use godly wisdom that we have through the Spirit of Christ in the choices that we make and how we respond in situations, circumstances, so we don't have to react with a spirit of fear or the spirit of the world. We can make choices through the use of godly wisdom. That makes it possible for us to choose to bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Because, boy, are we bombarded with thoughts that are off collar. Or that aren't right. At least I am. We need to bring them into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Again, we've received the Spirit, which is of God. He hath not given us the spirit of fear. So as a believer, you or I, we don't need to be wearing this spirit of bondage, making us slaves to fear in this world. We don't need to be clothed with the spirit of the world and allowing that to control us. And we don't need to be lacking the wisdom of God. We don't need to be clothed with a spirit that lacks courage or lacks a proper self-confidence in serving God. But still sometimes, if you're like me, I find myself, maybe you do, wearing the wrong spirit. Our lives can get burdened down and with unnecessary baggage because we don't clothe ourselves with
what God tells us to. And according to verse 5 in 1 Peter 5 there, we are to clothe ourselves with humility. God's very specific. He doesn't leave any doubt. He says we are to be clothed with our wearing humility. Humility is the emptying of self. And as we said before, it's the opposite of all pride. John MacArthur, in his study notes, he says that the word clothed literally means to tie something on oneself with a knot or bow, or a bow. This term was often used of a slave putting on an apron over his clothes in order to keep his clothes clean. On quote, Strong's Concordance gives a very similar definition to that meaning of clothed. So think about this. At Love Feast, and that's coming up for us in a couple weeks here, when we put on an apron over our clothes, some tie a bow, some of us may end up with a knot. But we kneel down to observe the ordinance of feet washing. And what is one of the things that it symbolizes? Humility. It represents a lowliness of mind that is willing to serve one another. You know, I'm not just going through these motions here. I'm saying that I'm willing to serve you. I'm willing to serve everybody here. All the body. It's putting others ahead of ourselves, and we symbolically are clothing ourselves with humility when we do that. And I say symbolically because for it to become more than a symbol, the apron of humility can't be left at the Love Feast table. We need to be clothed with it, wearing it every waking moment of our lives so that it will show in our relationship with God, our relationship with others, and how we respond to circumstances that we face in our lives. In saying humility will show in our relationship with God, I mean that we will see God properly and see ourselves in the right way. When we see God properly, we can't help but see ourselves in the right way. How I am before a holy, just God. We will see that all we are and all we have come, or all that we have, comes from God. Anything that is good coming from my life is not for me to get puffed up over, because it really is a result of what God has done and what He's doing. There are areas at Mayo Clinic. There's numerous buildings there, and you can walk from building to building inside. It's kind of neat. They actually have a down underneath, like a below ground, where you can walk from one building to the other. And the reason is, it gets so cold in Minnesota. Very cold in the winter, so it allows for people to go back and forth in the warm. But at any rate, they have areas where you can sit around and wait, because often you have time in between your appointments. And so one of the times I was sitting there, and Carol was doing something at the time, and then she came back, or she was there, I don't know, Luke was off doing something, maybe he was in an appointment, I'm not sure, but anyway, so I was sitting there, and there's a piano nearby, and sometimes someone's playing that piano. And as I was sitting there nearby, when all of a sudden I heard someone singing, "Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me." And they went through this song, and I think it was a little bit of a combination of another song or so. But when they finished that, then they started singing, "What a Friend We Have in Jesus." And it just touched my heart as I was sitting there in a public setting. And I heard that, and you know what? That's me. I'm a wretch that was saved by the grace, the amazing grace of God. And now I have a friend in Jesus that I can take everything to. I am nothing, but he is everything. That's the reality of my life. But you know what? Sometimes I forget. And sometimes my life becomes about me. F.B. Meyer said this, and I quote him, "The only hope of a decreasing self is an increasing Christ." Yeah. John the Baptist said that. You must increase, I will decrease. That's basically my terms, my wording. He said that to Jesus. This seeing God properly and seeing ourselves in the right way also means that I see God as sovereign and that he has the right to allow what he chooses in my life. My responsibility then is verse 6 of 1 Peter 5. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. You know, Hudson Taylor was scheduled to speak at a large Presbyterian church in Melbourne, Australia. And the moderator of the service introduced the missionary in eloquent and glowing terms. He told the large congregation all that Taylor had accomplished in China. And then he presented him as this way, and this says a quote, "Our illustrious guest." Taylor stood quietly for a moment and then opened his message by saying, "Dear friends, I am the little servant of an illustrious master." Amen. Amen. He's an illustrious master. I'm just a servant. When we clothe ourselves with humility, it enables us to have a right view of ourselves and to see sin and blind spots. In our lives that our pride wants to overlook. You know, that's true. Our pride wants to overlook things in our lives. But when we clothe with humility, it enables us to have a right view of ourselves. It allows the Lord to work through that. When we clothe ourselves with humility, it will affect our relationship with others. It will allow us to be real and genuine. We don't have to try to fool people. Just admit to who we are and confessing our fault. You know what that's called? It's called being transparent. Sometimes we're scared of that. We need more of it. I need more of it. To be transparent. Too often there's too much pride and we fail to be this way. When we clothe ourselves with humility, we are free to discard the costumes and the mask that we're wearing to cover up who we really are. I don't want them to know that. I mean, I want to look present myself like this. And I understand there's a proper way of presenting ourselves and all that. We need to be real. When we clothe ourselves with humility, it is no longer about my rights, no longer about my desires or my agenda, or my way, and it's not my way or the highway anymore. It means we don't see ourselves as better than someone else, regardless of the reason. How many think I have a really good reason to see myself better than that person? Oh, no. But by the grace of God, I am nothing. Only by the grace of God, I am what I am. So he gets all the credit, not me. If there's anything good coming out of me, it's only because of him. Think about the difference that this would make in our relationships. What about here amongst us in our congregation? Think about the strife that would be avoided. The conflicts that seemingly can't be worked out now can be because of clothing ourselves with humility. Because when we clothe ourselves with humility, there is no room to be too proud to forgive. And there's no room to be too proud to ask forgiveness. In fact, humility will affect even the way that I ask forgiveness. The words and the tone will be affected by humility. It won't be, well, if I wronged you, you know, or if I offended you, I'm sorry. It's not going to be like that. But rather, it will be a confession that's direct to any wrong on my part. Look, I did this to you. I'm sorry. Will you forgive me? Even in trying to restore another believer, we are to do so in the spirit of meekness or goodness or humility. Galatians 6:1. Clothing ourselves with humility will make a difference in our families. Think of it, mothers, when your children see humility in your life, you will be an instrument in teaching it to them. You'll connect with them because of that humility. Fathers, if we want to capture the heart, we talk about capturing the hearts of our children and then keeping them. You know what we need? One of the things that's very, very important, and that is to be clothed with humility. We need to be real before them, sensitive to the Spirit and confessing our faults, and when we offend them, when we do wrong, make it right. Be genuine. We need to display the spirit of humility before them in all areas of our life. They'll see it. And children, you clothe yourself with humility by how you respond to your parents, how you choose to obey them. And even as you grow older, in your teenage years, and as you get older, and even as you get married, you display humility by how you respond to your parents and show respect. When we clothe ourselves with humility, we will view others differently. It's true. I've seen it in my own life how I can view someone else differently if I'm clothed with humility. And I don't see myself above what I should. Jealousy will be uprooted. There is no need to try to outdo another, however that may be, whether it's dressing physically or however, or spiritually thinking. There's no need for it. We will less likely become angry with others if we're clothed in humility. You know, this clothing ourselves in humility, it affects every area of our lives. Our focus will change because it's off of ourselves. Humility helps us to see that others don't have to fit my mold. And I don't have to fit theirs. When we're clothed in humility, proper view of God, proper view of who I am before Him. And He's working in my life. He's working in yours. We clothe ourselves with humility towards one another. Again, verse 5, likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. And I think the ESV says that it's a clothing ourselves with humility towards one another. The idea. So, when I'm clothing myself with humility, it's towards you. Well, there's a connection here between humility and submission in this verse, in this 1 Peter 5:5. First, the younger were to be submissive one to the elders. In the context there, it would seem to be that younger ministers were to be submissive to the elders because he's exhorting the ministers in the previous verses. So however you want to take that, but makes it very clear that then the elders are not to be misusing their position. They are to be examples. You know, J. Oswald Sanders once noted that the humility of the leader as his spirit, Spirituality will be an ever-increasing quality. I'm going to say that again. The humility of the leader as his spirituality will be an ever-increasing quality. End quote. And he pointed out the progression we see over time of the Apostle Paul in Scripture, in his self-assessment. In 1 Corinthians 15, he says, I'm the least of the apostles. And then in Ephesians 3, he says, I am the least of all the saints. He expands it. And then in 1 Timothy 1:15, what does he say? I am the chief of all sinners. There is to be submission to church leaders, but church leaders are by clothing yourself, ourselves with humility. That includes me. But there's also to be the example being set by church leaders, which includes me. No one's left out. Yea, all of you be subject one to another. You know, Ephesians 5 makes it clear that we're all submitting to somebody. It says submitting one to another. And you think, I think that men get this wrong because Ephesians 5 talks about a woman or a wife submitting to her husband. But don't forget that men are to be submitting to their wives too by meeting their needs. Submission needs to be a basic characteristic of all believers' lives. Wives submitting to husbands, yes. Husbands submitting to the needs of the wife. Children submitting to parents. Believers are submitting to authorities over them. Believers are submitting to one another. There's a lot of submitting going on, or supposed to be. Instead of putting oneself as the priority, clothing ourselves with humility is needed to make all this possible. This submitting works when we clothe ourselves with humility. We need to grasp how important it is to clothe ourselves with humility. Again, 1 Peter 5, be clothed with humility, for God resisteth the proud. Do you know what that word resisteth means? It means opposes. God opposes the proud. And proud there means appearing above others, having a haughty thinking. God opposes those who think they're above others, those who are proud. When I'm proud, he opposes that. We need to beware of thinking we're better than others spiritually or physically. God opposes the proud, but the rest of verse 5 says he giveth grace to the humble. And that word grace means a divine influence upon the heart and its reflection in the life. And I'm asking you this morning and myself, who of us doesn't want more of a divine influence upon our heart, upon our life, so that it'll show forth? The way for us to receive this was for us to humble ourselves and be clothed with this spirit of humility, wearing the right spirit. The word grace also includes the idea of gratitude. God gives gratitude to the humble. Perhaps that's why we don't have as much gratitude in my life. Maybe you struggle with it because we're too proud. When we clothe ourselves with humility, we will be given more grace. And this grace will be at work in our lives and produces more gratitude. Verse 6 tells us to humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. You know what? Those who will humble themselves under the mighty hand of God. Why not want to be under the mighty hand of God? It's a safe haven. Doesn't mean that anything bad's not going to happen to you, but it does mean that God's going to be there. Yeah. He's there. Those who humble themselves under the mighty hand of God come under his authority. They submit to him. See him the right way, see themselves the right way, and see others the right way. And you know what? God will lift that person up in his due time. That means God's timing. Verse 7 is a precious promise, but it's important to note. You know, I love that verse, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. I can cling to that verse. It's a precious promise, but it's important to note that before we cast all of our care on the Lord Jesus Christ, no matter what it is, there must first be a submissive heart in a life clothed with humility. We can choose to be controlled by many different attitudes or be clothed with a harmful spirit, like the spirit of bondage. But the choice that is guaranteed to bring blessing and God's working of grace in our lives is to obey the command to clothe ourselves with humility. You know what? When I come to school in the morning, here I only come 3 days a week now, but when I come to school, I wear a school uniform just like the students. So I get dressed in my blues, right? I got the blues every school morning. And it looks like I'm dressed properly when I walk through the door, I hope. But am I really? Oh, yes, I'm dressed properly outside and it looks good, but am I clothed with humility? Each day we are to clothe ourselves with that. God help me. You determine how much of a need it is for you. God bless you.
One day, the mother of James and John came to Jesus and made a request of her two sons. Could one sit on your right hand and the other on your left hand in glory? That stirred up the other 10. And the Bible says they were moved with indignation. And then Jesus had a lesson. He said, you don't know how this works. In the Gentile world, you know, authority and dominion is very important. But in the kingdom of God, it doesn't work that way. And he said, whosoever will be great among you, let him be your minister or servant. God can use us to do great things for his glory when it makes no difference who gets the credit. That's humility. Are we wearing that spirit? Let's stand as we pray.